appreciate the fact that you're here this morning. And we have a day and a half. We hope most of you will be able to stay for the full day and a half. And it really is great that we have this many people here, because we normally cap this attendance at 150. But we had so many people who were interested in being here that we actually are at about 175. And you will notice that in terms of the dining room, which only holds about 160. So some of you will be sitting on each other's laps and so forth. So be patient. We think we're going to be able to fit everybody in, but my team will probably be eating out here at the registration table, and so we'll see. And I apologize for those of you who were here early. We were supposed to start breakfast at 7:30, and I don't think the coffee arrived until around 8, and that's terrible. That is absolutely terrible. And we hope that, well, we'll try to make sure that doesn't happen tomorrow. And then the hot breakfast didn't arrive either right away, so we'll do better. But I do want to, again, thank you all for being here, and we want to acknowledge, obviously, the FDA, the Critical Path Institute, and the PRO Consortium are supported by a grant from the FDA, and that does help us do what we are trying to do. Now, in terms of the packet of material you have, I do want to just point out a few things. We do have my welcome letter, and one of the things that I say in my welcome letter is there have been some significant changes since last year's workshop. Certainly the changes that have occurred within the SEALD staff in terms of Lori Burke's departure, and also the fact that the DDT process guidance, qualification process guidance, was released in final form. So we'll talk about that later this morning. You also have a PRO consortium fact sheet, just to give you a little more information if you don't know already what the PRO consortium is all about. Most of you in this room do, some of you may not. Just an information sheet on the Critical Path Institute, which we call CPATH, and how CPATH was established and why it was established. There's a list of presenters and panelists' biographical sketches. For the moderators today, they won't be giving long introductions to the speakers or panelists, because we do have this information available in the packet, so I refer you to those biographical sketches for those participants as panelists and speakers. There's a pre-registrant list, and there's a workshop feedback form which stands out in terms of its color. It's quite recognizable, so we would appreciate whatever feedback you have on the workshop. Most of you know this information, but the one thing I did want to point out is that we do have a new member firm this year, and that's Bayer Pharma AG. And so we're very pleased to say that we now have 26 member firms. These are all 26 of them. It's a very distinguished group, and so we're pleased to have many of those firms represented here today. Now, just to give you all an update, or at least an overview, if you don't know a lot about the PRO Consortium, give you an update and overview of the working groups that we have, and the number of firms that are participating in those working groups. And ASMA is our largest working group with 12 member firms. We have what we call the cognition working group, which is specifically working, as I'll talk about later, in mild cognitive impairment due to Alzheimer's disease. It's 7 member firms. We have 2 additional firms that are likely to join. Depression working group, 8 member firms. Functional dyspepsia and irritable bowel syndrome both have 3 member firms. And lung cancer, which is specifically focusing on non-small cell lung cancer, has 6 member firms. And our relatively newest working group, rheumatoid arthritis, has 5 member firms with 1 additional pending. And of the 26 member firms, 3 are in 4 working groups, 3 are in 3 working groups, 7 are in 2 working groups, 9 are in one working group and 4 are not participating in any current working groups. The goal of the working groups, just to reiterate, is to produce and or compile the necessary evidence to enable new or existing PRO measures or instruments to be qualified by the FDA for use in clinical trials where PRO endpoints can be used to support product labeling claims. And it's important to point out that this issue of developing a new measure and or compiling data for an existing measure, and we do want to focus more on that in the future because it is what we've been doing so far in our working groups. It has been to develop de novo new instruments, and I do think we need to consider the instruments that are out there and potential modifications to them that would make them ultimately qualifiable. So it's something for future work. And in terms of more, I'm going to give you, in essence, an overview, a very brief overview of the working groups and what their objectives are. And but there's a lot more detail that you can obtain from posters that we have. They're at the back of the room today, and they will be at the back of the room tomorrow morning as well. But a good time to view them will be at the reception this evening in the Magnolia Room, and I hope most of you will be able to join us there from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. this evening. And there's a lot of information on those posters that we won't be presenting here at the podium, but is well worth taking a look at. I will go through, as I said, each of the working groups just to give you very high-level information about what they're attempting to achieve. And so the first one is the asthma working group. The co-chairs are Linda Nelson and Michelle Mokarski. Both of them, I know Linda's here. Michelle is here as well, I believe. The target population is adults and adolescents with a clinical diagnosis of mild to severe persistent asthma. The measurement concept is daytime and nighttime asthma symptoms. It's essentially a symptom inventory. And then the role in the endpoint hierarchy will be as a co-primary or secondary endpoint to establish or support treatment benefit. The cognition working group, Julie Chandler and Elizabeth Pio-Louis are the co-chairs. The target population is adults with a clinical diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment due to Alzheimer's disease. The measurement concepts are interpersonal functioning and performance of complex activities of daily living. This is a situation where we're not measuring cognition. Cognition is best measured by neuropsychological tests, but there are aspects of functioning that are manifestations of those cognitive changes that we're attempting to measure in terms of these domains of interpersonal functioning and complex activities of daily living. And then the role in the endpoint hierarchy would be as a co-primary endpoint to establish treatment benefit, and specifically along with neuropsychological tests of cognition. The depression working group, Nikki Bush and Lucy Abraham are the co-chairs. The target population is adults with a clinical diagnosis of major depressive disorder, actually persons 12 years and older. In this target population. Measurement concepts, symptoms of major depressive disorder. This is a condition in which we really believe that we ought to be asking patients about the symptoms of their disease as an indicator of treatment benefit. And so we're proposing it as a primary endpoint to establish treatment benefit. Functional dyspepsia working group, co-chairs are Robin Carson and Linda Deal. The target population, adults with a clinical diagnosis of functional dyspepsia. And the measurement concepts are symptoms of functional dyspepsia. And this has been one of the more challenging of our working groups in the sense that the disease, or the condition in this case, needed to be defined. And actually, the inclusion and exclusion criteria have been a challenge in terms of recruiting patients into that project. And so we are hoping for the best, and we have a lot of work to do to get to where we need to go. But the role in the endpoint hierarchy, again, it's a symptom-defined condition, so this measure would be a primary endpoint to establish treatment benefit. In the IBS working group, again, Robin Carson is the co-chair of this, along with Gianna Rigoni. And the target population is adults with the clinical diagnosis of IBS, including the three major subtypes, IBS-C, IBS, which is IBS constipation predominant, IBS diarrhea predominant, and IBS mixed, which is a combination of both diarrhea and constipation. And then the measurement concepts are abdominal symptoms and bowel movement related symptoms. And the role in the endpoint hierarchy will be as a primary endpoint to establish treatment benefit. Non-small cell lung cancer working group. Co-chairs are Allison Campbell and Astra Lipa. Target population is adult patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer. And we're looking at pulmonary and non-pulmonary symptoms of non-small cell lung cancer. And the role of this instrument would be as a secondary endpoint to support treatment benefit. And then rheumatoid arthritis. The co-chairs are April Negley and Enkelita Nakai. Both of them are here today. Target population, adults with a clinical diagnosis of mild to severe rheumatoid arthritis. The measurement concept is rheumatoid arthritis-related fatigue. This is one area where we really do want to get to the point where we can have an acceptable measure of fatigue that in this case would be qualified by the FDA, and in this case as a secondary endpoint measure supporting treatment benefit. So the path to FDA qualification, and then specifically this is within the PRO consortium and relates to our working group stages, the areas in red have changed since the last time I presented this, and I'll just briefly go through this. Certainly we start with a letter of intent to find out if the FDA is even interested in pursuing this line of qualification. And then instead of what we used to produce, which was a scoping stage summary document, we now are submitting what is called an initial briefing package. We move into the once the FDA says yes to us moving forward with this based on the initial briefing package, we will then select our CRO partner to work with us and conduct the research necessary to develop the instrument and ultimately test it. And then we move into the content validity stage. And there are two steps here, the qualitative and the quantitative. And it makes it look like these are very distinct, but certainly during the quantitative research step, there will be qualitative research that will be needed as well. And then based on that, we will submit to the FDA for qualification of the instrument for use in exploratory studies. And that is a new step, and that will be discussed later this morning when we talk about the qualification process and specifically in the context of the DDT guidance, as well as the COA qualification process that Ashley will be talking about further. And then, based on the FDA saying, yes, we do have a qualification for use of this measure in exploratory studies, then we'll do the psychometric analysis stage, which will be conducted in our sponsor's clinical trials so that we actually have longitudinal data that will enable us to conduct further psychometric testing or assessment of the measurement properties of the instrument, as well as assessing what is a responder, in essence, how sensitive is the instrument to change, and what is a response based on the measurement scale that we've developed. And then we would submit to the FDA for qualification of the instrument as an effectiveness endpoint to support claims, and that would be as either a primary or a secondary endpoint. So just to put into context where along that path to qualification our working groups are currently, we have the rheumatoid arthritis working group, which is still, there was a scoping stage summary document that was submitted, but we really needed to start a little earlier in the process and develop now an initial briefing package around this concept of RA-related fatigue. And so they're working in conjunction with OMERACT and a team from NIH's PROMISE to develop some preliminary work around the definition of RA-related fatigue, as well as the conceptual framework that would be used to measure it. And then the content validity stage, we have five of our working groups: functional dyspepsia, non-small cell lung cancer working group, asthma working group, cognition, and irritable bowel syndrome. We've moved toward this, the content validity stage, quantitative step in the depression working group. We're not conducting the quantitative research yet, but we're in the design stage, and we hope to kick off that quantitative project very soon. And as you can see here, the asterisk means that there's a draft instrument available. The change since last year is that we now have a non-small cell lung cancer symptom inventory that has been developed. We have presentations and publications. All of these slides will be available within about a month on the PRO Consortium webpage of the Critical Path website. And you will be able to get those URLs subsequently. So in terms of today's and tomorrow morning's workshop activities, we really want you to be active in terms of asking questions, making comments. The workshop is being audio recorded, but please, when you do make a comment or ask a question, please come to the microphones. And if you can't get to the microphone, we will try to get a microphone to you. So we do want your involvement. I do want to thank a number of people, and the workshop planning subcommittee really did a great job of pulling this together. And I want to specifically thank Risa Hayes and Ashley Slagle for being willing to be the co-chairs of the planning subcommittee. It's a daunting task, and they did a great job. And I sincerely thank them, as well as everyone else that played a role on the workshop planning subcommittee. And then a thank you to the CPATH's PRO consortium team. I've been very fortunate to assemble a great team of individuals who help us do what we need to do to get the job done. And if you don't know them, and you probably all met, or a lot of you interacted with Teresa Swenteski. She's not in the room right now, but I do want to say that Teresa did a great job of getting the 175 registrants registered and helping them to find hotel rooms. And so she did a great job, and a lot of you, I know, appreciated what she has done for you as part of this. And then Carla Lehman is at the back of the room. Carla, in case you don't know Carla, she's one of our senior project managers. Many of you know Teresa Griffey, who's up here, and you'll see her a lot because she's going to help us get through the day and a half, and she's critically important to the team. And then Jason Lundy, who is the assistant director of the PRO Consortium. And also with us today is Martha Brumfield, and she is the CEO and president of the Critical Path Institute. She joined us after a long and distinguished career at Pfizer in regulatory affairs, and so we appreciate her being here today and supporting us in our efforts within the PRO Consortium. And then thank you to folks at the FDA, certainly the Office of Translational Sciences, and Indira and Mark Walton and Chavre have been very supportive of the things we're doing here. And then the primary representatives from the SEALD staff to the PRO Consortium, specifically Ashley and Electra, and many of you, if not all of you, know them, and we very much appreciate their efforts on our behalf. And then also to the roughly 150 scientists and clinicians that represent our PRO Consortium member firms on our working groups, our committees, and our subcommittees. We really do sincerely appreciate their efforts.